I don't know, I can make it darker, I can turn these off. That's probably better. Well, good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
I counted 36 or 7 here. That's great. Title of God's Word this morning, and listen carefully, is Be Not Led Astray. And that's because the world is so good at leading us astray. And we all have the Holy Spirit within us, and He speaks to us. And sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. Because His voice is small and still and quiet, and so we have to really pay attention. But see, the world talks loud. And they're going to say, no, he didn't say that. We're going to see that today in the life of Paul. We've been studying the book of Acts of the Apostles. And from chapter 9 all the way on up until now, we've had the pleasure to be with Paul in his travels through the Gentile nations. He's preaching the gospel. And a great number of people have been saved and come to Christ. We also have witnessed the persecution that he had to go through. He endured it, and yet, in every single case, the Lord delivered him out of the hands of the people that wanted to kill him. So now, we're going to accompany him to Jerusalem, that great city. And he seems like his service days are over now. And all he has left is days of suffering, days of darkness. But we have to believe that Paul, even in these days, even in prison, even standing before the court, still glorifies God and still is serving Jesus Christ all the way to the end of life. And so when things in our life, when they seem to drift away from what we thought they should be, or how we thought they should plan out, you can still glorify God by how we respond to them. We can become bitter, we can become better. It's our choice. It's your choice. So, you brought your Bibles with you? Open them up. Acts chapter 21. Hey, the right slide come up. Isn't that good, Darvin? I don't do PowerPoint a lot, folks, so don't expect a lot of moving parts and all that stuff. Anyway, well, I'm going to read 6 verses here. And it came to pass, when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed in Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed, went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. This is an account of Paul's return trip from Miletus to Jerusalem. mentions every spot that he went by. And I talked about last week how difficult goodbyes can be. Luke's choice of words here does not really depict the feelings of Paul or his friends. More literally, the word should be tore themselves away from each other. You see, Paul didn't want to leave. They didn't want Paul to leave. But it must be so. When good people are taken by death, they're ripped from their friends and their family. Even though they try to latch onto them and keep them here longer. And that's the type of parting that was felt by Paul and his friends. And it says they had a prosperous journey. No difficulty in this journey. With Paul, that's amazing. I passed out this map. If anybody does not have one and they want another one, let me know by raising your hand. And this shows where he went. He left Miletus, which is over there. I thought I had a pointer, but I don't. I can't reach it. And then he goes right over to Kos. That was a famous Grecian island. And then to Patara. That was a port in Lycia. And he got lucky. And there he found a ship that was going to sail directly to Phoenicia. That was a trip of about 400 miles. Lucky my foot. It wasn't luck. We have to acknowledge the providence of God. Whenever things that opportunely happen, and we are favored by even little circumstances, it's not luck. It's the Lord. It says they sailed past Cyprus on the left, which means Cyprus wasn't on the left of the... It was on their left side when they came by. You can see the red line here. They're coming up by from Patara, come by Cyprus right here. And he says Cyprus is on our left, but we're not going to stop there. And it goes right into Tyre. So now here they are on the coast, the land of Israel, the mainland. And he knows now that he is going to able to get to Jerusalem in time for Pentecost. And that was his goal. He wanted to get there for the feast. What's interesting, he finds disciples there. And any of you that have read through the whole book of Acts, there's no mention of a church being established in Tyre. By Paul or by anybody. But somebody did. And so that proves to us that everything that they did in the book of Acts is not recorded. It's just like John, when he finished his book, he says, if everything was written about Jesus, there's not enough books in the world to contain it. And so we don't have everything about the life of Jesus, and we don't have everything about the Acts of the Apostles either. Apparently, disciples there prophesied to Paul. It says, there's danger awaiting you in Jerusalem. Well, Paul had been warned before that there was danger waiting for him. Way back in Acts 20:23, he himself said, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. He knew that. So was Paul disobeying the Holy Spirit when he went to Jerusalem and they said, don't go? I don't think so. The disciples at Tyre were given knowledge through the Holy Spirit. We get knowledge. And they received about the dangers that Paul was going to be facing in Jerusalem. But it was their human interpretation of that prophecy that was in error. And the warning for that, for us, is this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if the message is unclear in your mind, leave it unclear until the Holy Spirit clarifies it. Don't try to interpret it. Don't try to humanly rationalize in your mind what that meant. If you don't know what it meant, you don't know what it meant. Pray for understanding, and He will give you that understanding. If you interpret it in your human mind, you're going to interpret it wrong, just like these disciples did. They got the revelation, they told it to Paul, and they said, don't go. Last week, I said, quiet time with the Lord is time well spent. Well, Paul, with this trip, had many long days of quiet thought with Christ, sailing from Miletus to Tyre. And all that time in his prayer life and his meditation, it just deepened his resolution in his heart, preparing him for this danger that awaited him in Jerusalem. And when he got to Tyre, the strength of his faith came under fire. And there's going to be days that the strength of our faith is going to come under fire. It's going to be tested. And where are you going to stand when the world says, or your parent says, or maybe your spouse says, no, don't go, don't do that. But in your heart, it's the Spirit saying, this is the call on your life. The disciples said, don't go to Jerusalem. The conflict here was between the voice of the Spirit in Paul's heart and the voice of the disciples warning him not to go. Now, one did not contradict the other. It's the same thing with Abraham. You remember the story of Abraham? Abraham, he had to obey, although to obey meant to suffer. Kill his son. But that's the heart of a true servant of Christ. It's to obey no matter the cost. We think of the costs. Despite the heartful pleas of these Christians in Tyre, Paul and his group did not turn aside, and they went to Jerusalem. Paul was persuaded that was God's will. So let's read some more. Verse 7. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemaia. Ptolemais. Greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. So now Paul's own companions are pleading with him, don't go. And Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. They stayed with Philip. Philip was one of the original seven disciples that were picked to minister in the church when the Grecian women thought they were being not treated fairly. He was an associate of Stephen. You remember Stephen, the first martyr? And Paul, who was called Saul at that time, took part in Stephen's death. And now he's coming to stay with Philip. That must have been a pretty interesting meeting. And while he stays there, Agabus, a prophet, comes down and gives him a second warning now about Jerusalem. I got to say, wait a minute. Paul is staying with Philip, right? I just read Philip had how many daughters? And they were all prophetesses. The Holy Spirit could have used them to speak to Paul, to warn him. Why didn't the Spirit use the four daughters? Why did he bring Agabus in there? Well, you have to remember 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy says it is not proper for a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. And if these daughters of Philip prophesied over Paul, it could be taken that they were telling Paul what to do and have an authority over him. And the Spirit didn't want that, so he brought in Agabus. Agabus acts out his message. And if you read the prophets of the old, you find out Ezekiel, Hosea, they acted out God's message to Israel. So we have the disciples at Tyre. And we have Agabus in Caesarea. And they both received the same prophecy from the Spirit. Danger awaits you in Jerusalem. So that confirms the prophecy is true. But both of their conclusions were human-driven and not Spirit-revealed. And that's the key. And because we are aware of danger ahead does not mean that we shouldn't go through it. Doesn't mean we have to avoid it. Sometimes we have to go through it. How does your faith become stronger and strengthened? Through trials and tribulations. And so there's times we're made aware of a coming storm so we can prepare for it. I think everyone here likes to have a warning of a hurricane coming. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through that hurricane, but you may want to board up your windows. You may want to put your car in the garage if you have a nice car. The Lord has promised to be with always. I will be with you always, he says. That includes storms, not just good times. And I believe Paul knew every single suffering that he was going to go through when he gave his life to Christ. Way back in Damascus when he began his ministry, what did God say to him? God said to him, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So I believe Paul knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. I knew he was going to be stoned when he was stoned. He knew that. Paul wasn't disobeying the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was just confirming what Jesus had already showed him was going to happen to him. And these warnings were preparing Paul, not trying to stop him. Now, to choose suffering means something's wrong in you. But to choose God's will, even if it means suffering, is a whole different story. No healthy saint ever chose suffering. But he chose God's will, whether it meant suffering or not. it didn't matter. That is complete submission to your Lord and Savior. So before we try to avoid something in our life, stop. Pray for understanding what God's will is. Once it's revealed to you, then move forward, regardless of any danger. If it's God's will, it will be done. We pray that in the Our Father prayer, don't we? Thy will be done. Well, that's what Paul was obeying. Absolutely. Not my will, but your will, Father. And after those days, verse 15, we packed up and went to Jerusalem. Also, some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain mason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. You see, they're going to Jerusalem, and it's Pentecost. It's a feast day. The city is flooded with millions of Jews and travelers that didn't live there. There's no lodging. There's no place to stay. But the Lord provides this old disciple who has a house in Jerusalem. And so they stay with him. See, nothing's coincidence when it's divinely provided for. Paul and his companions are now on their way to Jerusalem. And notice Paul goes into known danger with his very close friends. Does anybody here have very close friends? Oh, good. Two kids in the back. You see, they tried to persuade him not to go. But when all that failed, here's what they did not say. Okay, fine, Paul. We warned you. Go ahead. But you're going by yourself, pal. They didn't say that. They said what Thomas said when Jesus said, I go to Jerusalem. And Thomas looked at him and said, let us go and die with him. That's what they said. They cleaved. And if you know what the word cleave means, it's used in the word in the book of Ruth. It's to grab on and not let go. They cleaved to Paul, just like Ittai did to David when David had to flee the city because his son was trying to take over. And Ittai said to David, in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, there also shall thy servant be. He would not leave David. Paul's friends would not leave him. Those are the kind of friends I want beside me. Not only loyal, but look at the fellowship they had on that trip. Sharing and talking about everything the Lord had done in and through them in the Gentile nations. It must have been a wonderful journey. Whenever we face challenges, how great it is. How much of an encouragement to have true friends by our side. True friends. So pick your friends wisely. Scripture in the Old Testament says, trust not in a brother. Love means well, but it doesn't always point in God's way. Paul's heart is touched here. But it takes a strong faith, a strong effort of his faith, and he overcomes how he feels. And he says, I'm ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I have to go. I must go, he says. It is God's will in my life, is what he's saying, that I go. So at that point, the love of these Christian flock to their pastor has to give way to the pastor's love for Christ. That's it. That's the message for today. The will of the Lord is be done, not my will. You remember Peter? Peter tried to hinder his Lord and Master from going. Not so, Lord. And what answer did he get from Christ? Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not going to finish this chapter today. So I want to leave you with this. If we distinctly know what God would have us to do, then no danger, no circumstances, no fear of the consequences may be permitted to lead us aside from God's path. I cannot tell you what God wants you to do. Nobody can. You have to listen to that still, small voice within. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and he will instruct you in the way you should walk. Listen and obey. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray for strength and understanding. Strength to do what it is you tell us to do. Understanding to know what it is, Lord. And then by whatever trials or tribulations or storms or even death, our faith is strengthened. And we can set the example to those that are weaker, as Paul is setting the example here. No matter the consequences, Lord, give us that stamina to not falter when adversary hits us hard. And so as we leave this church of yours, strengthen every one of us in our faith, Lord, to the point of Paul's. The churches in California are being told that they can't sing. Give them the strength, Lord, to continue to obey you in that matter. Give us the strength to continue to obey you if things come to push and shove here. And that we stand together as Paul's friends stood with him, that we all stand together with each other, strengthening and increasing the faith of one another. Put a blessing on the snacks that are here today, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for this place that we can come and gather. In Jesus' name, we come to you. Amen.
I have a prayer question. Most of you know that I am attempting to open up